on to So What Do You Think for our bonus episode, Telling Stories, where I'm actually going to finally tell my haunted house story. Are you excited?
I'm worried.
It's daytime, so we're all good. Yeah. You are home alone, though.
Yeah. I've already been scared once.
Yeah.
In the daytime.
So I know I've alluded to this story quite a few times before, and I keep getting people saying to me, when are you going to tell this story? So
when are you going to tell the story?
Like, come on. Keep on.
Come on already.
I know. Well, let me tell you right now that it was a pretty horrific time for me. It was very, very scary, but it was also at a time in my life where I was going through some stuff. So I guess, like, maybe because I was going through some stuff and mentally I wasn't doing so well, it kind of latched onto me a little bit. So I was kind of like the center of it. So, yeah, as a backstory, I think we've alluded to the fact that sort of I've seen ghosts and that sort of thing before, but I suppose, like, for me, seeing ghosts is like one of those things that has always been normal for me. So the women in my mum's side of the family, we've all got, we call it the gift, you know, we all sort of see things, feel things, hear things. And some of us can sort of see things before they happen. So yeah, like when I was a kid, you know, little kids have imaginary friends and that sort of thing. And you say to them, oh no, don't worry. That's just imaginary. That's nothing, blah, blah, blah. No one ever said that to me. So I just kind of grew up never having that quashed or anything. So when I'm seeing things, like, it's validating. It's been validated to me. So I've just always seen things. At the moment I've got a thing that's in my house and it sort of just pokes its head around the corner every now and then. So
what?
Yeah, every now and then I'll be sitting there and this little head will just sort of poke around the
Fuck
corner.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Yeah, and it's big and tall and I'm not the only person in my house that's seen it, let's just say.
You're fucked. This is why I didn't come to your house.
I smudged, yeah. Actually. I ended
You're
up smudging
excited
my house.
Because I'm going to live closer to you soon. Like, fuck, I'm not fucking coming.
I am smudged and I have not seen it since, so I think I got rid of it. So don't worry.
This big, tall thing peeking around the corner. Was he peeking last time I was there?
No, this is quite recent. It's only been the last few weeks that a couple of us have seen it. But like I said, I smudged.
Which one has seen it, the older or the younger?
The younger. Yeah. The older, my oldest, she loves all things horror and scary, and she wishes she had a ghost in her room and all this. She doesn't really have the gift, unfortunately.
She's dad's side. She's more like that one, definitely.
Yeah. Youngest, terrified of her own shadow, is literally sleeping with me at the moment.
Aww.
She's seen it a few times, so yeah, poor thing.
You're like, come over, we're having a bonfire, you can stay the night. No.
I told you, I got rid of it, it's fine.
Yeah, and then another fucking one comes along.
Anyway, let's get into this story. So, it's 1999. It's Kalamunda. For anyone who doesn't know the Perth region, Kalamunda is like the hills of Perth, like 15, 20 Ks.
I was there on Friday night.
It's quite a spiritual area, actually. Like, it's a lot of Aboriginal stuff, you know, like it was quite a central hub for Aboriginal people back in the day. And it's got some old places, as old as Perth gets anyway, some old stuff up here. So there's some stuff around. We moved up here in 1999. I'd finished high school, so I was 17, turning 18 later that year. Mum, for some reason, like, wanted to live in Kalamunda. Her sister lives up there and up here, and yeah, she just loves it up here. So we moved up as soon as I finished high school, and we rented because Mum had sold her place in where we'd come up from. But we didn't want to rush into buying a house. Like, we wanted to rent for a little bit, get to know the lay of the land, you know, and then find a nice place that we would be happy in. So there was my two sisters who were aged 7 and 10 at the time. And for privacy's sake, we'll call my 10-year-old sister Christy and my 7-year-old sister Sarah, and we'll call Mum Amy. So
Oh, fuck, I've forgotten that all already.
Yeah, Christy, I know, right?
Sarah, Amy. Okay.
Yeah, Christy's the one that you had coffee with on the weekend with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we've moved in. We found this nice house, actually a really nice house. It was an old house. It was, so the layout of it's quite important. So it was like one of those houses that was an old house from the 50s or 60s, but like people had kind of built around it and made it bigger. So everything, the middle of the house was the kitchen and everything kind of spiraled around it. So front of the house was like a huge, great, big, long living area, which was like a lounge room. I think at some stage it was probably like a front pergola or something, but it was enclosed.
Yeah.
And then sort of going around clockwise from that around the kitchen was my bedroom on the left. A little old bathroom toilet that we just used as a storage room. Along the back of the house was an annex. So that definitely used to be a back patio and it had been enclosed. It was just like a long room. It was like our dining room. And then at the end of it was a bedroom. And then coming up around was two more bedrooms and then the front door. So it was kind of like this roundish sort of house with the kitchen in the middle. Now, most of the house sort of had floorboards and stuff, but the add-ons were concrete underneath. So it was on a big block, probably, I think it was like half an acre. I think I've said before, like the way that the backyard was formatted was like there were two backyards. So you would walk out the back door and there'd be like garden, lawn, like a garage, and also like a laundry. Our laundry was outside as well in a separate building. And then you walk through a gate. And then you were in another backyard, but that was just like bush with weeds like up to your head. It was really like, unless you got out there with your whippersnapper every few weeks, it was feral. But that's where the clothesline was. So in that backyard, we discovered that there was like a well and there was no water in it or anything. And it was covered over, but it was just a bit weird and random to have a well in the backyard. So we moved in. I think it was Australia Day weekend, but it was weird because it was like raining, like stormy that day. And usually Australia Day is feckin' hot around here. So it was me, mum, two sisters, and we also had two dogs, two cats. Two dogs, one of them was an old blind golden retriever called Jed and a young stupid Weimaraner named Connor. They're both lovely dogs. Two cats, Cairo and Lily, I think their names were. So we move in, first day we're there. Mum's like, go check out your rooms, pick a room. This is, you know, it's a four bedroom house. So, you know, plenty of room for everyone. I pick the one on the far left side. It's sort of, I'm a teenager. It's as far away from everything as I can get. I had gone up to the back bedroom, the one coming off the annex, but I didn't really like the juju in there. So I was like, no, I'll just take this one. My two little sisters, like mum took the room at the front of the house and then there was another one. My two little sisters like went into the back room as well and they didn't like, it just had bad juju, this back room. Like nobody ever wanted to be in there. So they were like, no, we'd actually rather share a room than actually have one of us live in that room. So they ended up having a shared room next to mum's room. So we're there. It's all good for a few days. And then my first encounter is the one that I've spoken about before on the podcast, and that was when this demon dog thing. For anyone who hasn't listened to that episode, I will tell it again. That recipe, I will tell it again.
Yep.
So I was hanging out the washing. I'm in the backyard, in amongst all the weeds, and I am doing the washing, and then all of a sudden I see something move out of the corner of my eye, and I look around, and there is this huge, ginormous, like blacky brownish sort of colored dog. And it's running straight for me. Now, I'm not someone who's scared of dogs. Usually I'd be like, oh, puppy. But this thing was menacing and I needed to get the hell out of there. So I just sort of dropped my basket and ran. But as I went to run and as it got to me and sort of lunged at me, it disappeared. It just vanished into thin air. So that was like, hey, all right, guys. And, you know, my family as well, it was just kind of a matter of, oh, there's a ghost dog in the backyard, just so you know. just be aware of that. I don't think we ever saw it again, though. I feel like that was the only time that it actually came around. But I don't know. I feel like it might have been a bit of an omen because shit was about to get serious after that.
Yeah.
The next thing that happened was youngest sister Sarah She went out the back to feed the dogs one night, and she came in white as a sheet, and she was like, what are those things that you put on the bed that, you know, you lay them across your bed? And we're like, a blanket? No, like thin. Oh, a sheet? And she goes, yeah, one of those is floating around outside in the backyard. So we're like, okay, go out there, have a look. There's no sheets anywhere. And she reckons it kind of like, it wasn't even just like blowing across the ground in the backyard. It was sort of hovering in midair right in front of her, flapping around in the backyard. So we were like, okay, we're kind of like on edge a little bit then after that, after the dog as well. The next thing that happened was, so the front, that back room that came off the annex and nobody ever went in, that kind of became a bit of a storage room too. And just no one went in there. You'd shut the door to it because you could see the entrance of it from the kitchen, and the door just wouldn't stay shut. Like, it just kept on opening all the time. It's like, nope, this door has to be open. One day we were standing in the kitchen and we saw one of the cats walk into that room and literally like scream and walk out backwards. Like, he ran backwards. That's how quickly he wanted to get out of that room. I went in there once to get something, and this is not paranormal at all, but it scared the shit out of me at the time. I looked down and we get these big like barking geckos up here in Kalamunda. And like, I looked down and there was one sitting there looking at me, and I went, oh, I better go grab it and put it out before the cats get it. And it just screamed at me. I shat myself.
They do scream.
They scream. I'd never heard that before.
Yeah. Like, they scream. If you don't know what it sounds like.
It just like opened its mouth and screamed at me. It was like, what? Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, the back bedroom, no go. Don't like it. Not going in there. One night we were sort of cooking dinner in the kitchen / dining area, and like, the cats just skitzed out all of a sudden. They all, like, they both just screamed and went running. And that sort of thing would kind of happen all the time. The cats would kind of go between screaming and running away or hiding. Like, they were just out, never out like normal cats, like they had been in our old house. So they were really on edge all the time.
Yeah.
So we were there, I think in the all up, we were there 16 months, and we literally left like running, like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Through that time, my sisters were just sick all the time. They just never seemed to get better from being sick all the time. And they were in primary school at the time, and, you know, mum was trying to work and she was a single mum and stuff. So it became quite hard to sort of like manage all of that as well. That year I was at uni. So I guess I helped out a lot with them and that, but like, I had my own stuff going on. So it was kind of a stressful time that we were there too. Now, the dogs. So,
oh my God, he did it again. Oh my God.
And for people that wouldn't have listened to that episode that we just recorded and don't know what the hell you're talking about, what happened?
Okay, Bowie just walked in. Bowie is my deaf, pure white cat. We're here speaking about ghosts. He is white as snow, and he just walked in the room from the entrance behind me and just went, wah! In his weird deaf meow, and I literally just jumped off the freaking couch.
Your screen froze as you did it too, so I didn't know what was going on. All I could hear was screaming.
I want to see that replayed. Oh, gosh. Can you not do that?
He can't hear you. I don't know why you're talking to him.
Looking at me.
Okay. So anyway, the dogs. So they were pretty good dogs. They were fine where we'd come from and everything. We had this 2-year-old Weimaraner who was a complete nutter. But he started like getting really, really anxious and really, really on edge all the time. And he would like howl at night and stuff. And that was something he'd never done before. And so we're like, okay, what's going on with him? And we actually like, I think we got a behaviorist out to check on him, like see what was going on. So yeah, we got him checked out by the vet and everything. There wasn't anything wrong with him. Then all of a sudden he started going through this phase where he'd get into the backyard and he would just like go over, under, through the back fence, whatever he had to do to escape from the yard. But he'd never run away. He'd run out the back, through the back neighbor's property, find his way back out onto the streets and come around and come to our front door. So, and he would just do that time after time. We fixed the fence. We blocked in all the holes. We did everything we could. He would not stay in the backyard. Like, it was to the point where we couldn't even go out without worrying about him getting out of the yard. And the problem was that he would take Jed with him, my blind golden retriever. And it's like, if he gets out on the street, he can't see cars and stuff. So we were really worried about it. So, like, literally, you'd leave the house and he'd do it, like, he would only do it when we weren't home. So if we were home, he was okay. But as soon as we went out, he'd do it. And you'd literally go out the front, go get in the car, go to drive off, and he'd come running up the street. Like, that's how quickly he got out of the backyard. One day, we must have barricaded the fence too well, because we got home from being out and he had jumped through the back window. He'd like smashed the back window and got into the house that way. It was crazy, and we tried everything we could. We ended up getting this super long chain, like a 30-meter chain, to put him on so he could still run around the backyard but not get out. And he would just walk in a circle. He'd go round and round and round and round. So you'd put him on it at night, because he'd escape at nighttime as well. You put him on it at night, and in the morning it would just be this great big ball of chain, because he'd gone round and round and round and round. He would howl all night. He ended up losing so much weight that we were literally giving him like half a kilo of rice every night to try and fatten him up. There was actually physically nothing wrong with him. The vets like couldn't find anything wrong with him or anything. In the end, we actually ended up having to rehome him. It was like the nicest thing to do. Like, he just wasn't happy with us. So we actually found a guy who was a ranger in another shire out in the country. And he took him and loved him. And, yeah, as far as we know, we checked up on him a few years later when he was fine. He went back to normal. But in that house, he was not okay. He just was not okay. My younger sister had rabbits. And on two occasions, we went out to the rabbit hutch, and two rabbits had their necks broken and they were just dead. Yeah, so like all the animals seemed to be really picking up on everything that was happening straight away. Now, as far as what was happening to us inside the house, well, the first time that shit got really scary after the first couple of things that happened, one night we were all asleep and we heard coming from the kitchen in the middle of the house a scream like someone was being murdered. So Mum and I jumped up and like ran to the kitchen out of our bedrooms. Don't know who it was. Kids were asleep. And it was like an adult screaming in the kitchen. And we're like, oh my God, okay. And at that point, we kind of realized that shit wasn't okay. After that, you would hear noises in the kitchen every night, go out there, and like all the cupboard doors and drawers and stuff were open by themselves. As I said, I was going through a bit of a time for that first year that we were there. So it kind of centered on me, and I got quite depressed, and I felt as though like things were coming to get me all the time. Like, I just felt like something was just standing over me all the time. So things were bad. We were all sort of really stressed out about it. We kept on hearing weird shit all the time. And then one night I was in bed sleeping, and I heard magpies crowing. Now, magpies don't usually sing at nighttime. I know that sometimes they can, but not usually. That's not usually a thing. So I was like, that's weird. I can hear magpies. So I listened to that for a little bit, and slowly the noise of these magpies changed from being magpie singing to being a woman chanting in another language. And I don't know what she was saying, but she would say the same thing over and over and over. Okay. And I was just freaked out. And then the next morning I said to Mum, I think I'm going crazy here. I could hear a woman chanting outside the house last night. She goes, no, I heard it too. So from that night, every single night for weeks, magpies followed by chanting, and it went for hours every single night. And it was literally like there was a woman standing in our front yard chanting at us. We ended up recording it because we're like, someone's got to help us with this. And when we played back the recording, you could hear it, but you could also hear like a deep man's voice saying things in another language as well. So we gave it to a friend of my mum's who was like a sound engineer, and he was going to like have a look at it and see if he could see any faults on the tape or anything like that. And when he got it, first of all, he listened to it and he was like, what the actual hell is this?
Yeah.
But then when he went to go and work on it, the cassette disappeared and we don't know where it went. So that kept on happening. And then it kind of reached a crescendo one night, the worst night of my life, I think. I had this horrific thing happen. So I was laying in bed and I was trying to sleep, and I think I experienced like a sleep paralysis. Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
Yes.
Where you just can't move?
Yep.
Yeah. Did you have visions while you had it?
There was something standing at my door.
Yeah, that's usually what happens, right, with sleep paralysis. Yeah. You have a vision of some sort, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I all of a sudden feel that I've got this sleep paralysis and I'm like, oh, great. Yeah. And then I make out there's something standing at the end of my bed. And yeah. I can't move, I can't talk, I can't do anything, but I can see this thing kind of gets clearer and clearer at the end of my bed. It was not one but two figures. One of them was like tall and had like a cloak over its head, but I could see its face, and it was like a melted face, like someone had had extreme burns on their face. And then standing next to it was like a mini version, like a mini me demon standing next to it, and they were both just standing there looking at me. And I know that they were trying to possess me, I know that they were trying to get into me, because I could feel that energy sort of coming into my body. And then I just remember fighting it mentally over and over, and I could feel them grab my, like mentally grab my arm, and like my arm would raise up on its own, like they were trying to see how far they could go with me. And I just had to fight it mentally, fought it for what felt like hours. I don't know how long it was. And eventually, obviously, they went away. But after that, I was just like, something's got to happen here. And I told Mum about it, and she was like, yeah, we need professional help. This house is like possessed. So she starts to talk in her circles, you know, who can help us out, you know, who can come and like bless the house and that sort of thing. And somebody recommended to her a lady who was a uni lecturer at Curtin, who was an Indigenous elder, and said, give her a call because she kind of deals with this sort of thing. So Mum called her. She didn't know that she was going to be calling her. So Mum called her, and this lady answered the phone. And mum was like, is this such and such? And she goes, I've been waiting for your call, Amy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She goes, I've been dreaming about you and what's going on in your house. So she knew pretty much everything that was going on already. She said that it was in the land. So that it wasn't even about the house. It was like in the land. And obviously it was sort of latching onto me. So she sort of gave us some stuff to do to try and help. But she said, ultimately, you're not going to get rid of it because it's there. It lives there. It's been living there for a long time. And I think after that, like that was when we actively started to really try and find a place to move to. Like, we're like, we need to get the hell out of here. So after that, I got a lot better. I ended up meeting, a guy who is now my husband. so I ended up dating him. And he would come and stay. And I think that was what helped me get better as well. Like the whole sort of evolution of me getting better, like started with him coming into my life as well. I stopped seeing, you know, gross things and that sort of thing. However, we still did have the chanting continue. The chanting continued the entire time we lived there. And also we'd see it. We'd see this thing. So you would like get in the car, me and my mum and family and that, and go to drive away from the house and look in the rear view mirror, and it was standing on the front doorstep, and we'd all see it, this great big huge like shadow person. So it was there, it was always there. But it's
now I'm never gonna be able to look in the rear view mirror again. Thank you. I already have that thought in my head, like, what am I gonna see when I look in the rear view mirror
on the back seat? That's like an irrational fear of mine.
Stop it. I don't care that it's daytime. I'm alone. And after this, I have to hop in my car.
Oh, you poor thing. I'm sorry.
Like, I get really freaked out by this. Oh,
I know you do. I know. So, yeah, things continued, but it didn't affect me as much. I was.
Like, I don't know what's worse. Like, I don't know what's worse. If the fact that, like, it's just always there watching and you can see it.
I know.
Or
I know.
That it's like, even when it stopped doing stuff, you still know it's there.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, like, I remember one night, my other half, he was sleeping over, and he went up to go, his family, no, ghosts, no, they don't exist, we don't do ghosts. So this is the first time he's ever encountered anything like this, right? Now he's been living with me for like nearly 25 years, and it's normal now. But
yeah, he's like, oh, what the fuck now?
Yeah, exactly. Back then, yeah, he did not know about this sort of stuff. One night he got up to go to the toilet, and the toilet and bathroom were kind of next to the kitchen in the middle of the house. So he had to walk across the kitchen to get to the toilet, gets up, walks to the kitchen. And he goes, something followed me. I could hear its footsteps behind me. And then I was like, okay, went into the toilet, standing at the toilet. And he said, I could hear it walk up behind me, walk around me. And then I heard it walk up the wall. And it was like bang, bang, bang until it stopped in front of me. And this is a guy that had never had anything to do with ghosts before. And he's just kind of telling me this thing the next morning. Like, this weird thing happened to me last night. So, yeah, even people who don't believe in that shit saw it, and it was hectic. So, shit got sort of a little bit less, but it was still there, and we knew we couldn't stay there. Mum ended up buying a house, and so we went to leave, which was great. On the day that we moved into the new place, I think the landlord called Mum back and said, oh, you've left some stuff in some cupboards, some cleaning products or whatever. So Mum went back by herself into the house to go and get these last little bits and pieces, walked in the front door, and was very firmly told, get out. And she went, all right. So turned around, walked out, left her shit there, and never went back again. So that was the story.
I'd love to know, like, with the next family.
Yeah. Well, you know, my sisters being little, they had friends in the neighborhood, and they played with the people next door. And I wish I could remember, and obviously my sisters were so young, they can't remember a whole lot about this time, but I recall them talking about the stuff that was happening with their friends next door and their parents saying, oh, yeah, I think the people before you had some stuff like that happen too. So the house is still there. I drive past it every now and then, but they've changed it completely. Like, they've completely renovated it. It just looks like a totally different house. So, but yeah, often like, oh, I just gotta knock on the door and be like, hi, have you got a ghost demon thing? Okay, crazy. But yeah, I've no doubt we've got a situation where we've got a haunted house or haunted land or whatever, and for the fact that I was having a tough time, it just sort of latched onto me and fed off the energy. But yeah, that was the story of my haunted house. What are your thoughts? So what do you think?
I hate you.
No, you don't. You love me.
Mm-hmm. I don't like it. That's not what I think.
I didn't like it either, let me tell you.
No. We will never speak of this again.
Okay, now it's out there. We don't have to talk about it ever again.
No, look, I've had weird things too. So, moments, not ongoing.
Mm.
Sleep paralysis is one of them. That freaked me the fuck out.
I had the worst sleep paralysis as a kid. I'd get it like nearly every night. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I had a lot of crazy shit. I could probably do a whole another episode on crazy shit that happened to me when I was a kid, about like some of the highlights. I remember when I was maybe 10, I had this weird thing happen. I had this, like, Mum had sensed that I had something around me for a while and stuff was going on. But one night she woke up and she heard me screaming, and she ran into my bedroom, and I was being sucked through my fly screen window. Like, no, something had me in the air trying to drag me through the window. No. She thought I was being kidnapped. She was like, oh my God, she's been kidnapped. And it was like, she grabbed me to sort of wrestle me off whoever this thing was, but the window was shut, like the fly screen was shut. So it wasn't a person, and something was dragging me through the window. And I remember waking up with this sensation of being pulled like tug of war between mum and whatever this was. And then another time we lived in this other house, and my sisters, they got some creepy shit when they were kids too. There was a little girl that lived in one of our houses when we were younger, and we all saw her. We would see her sort of walking around the place and talking and stuff. And yeah, one night I woke up and mum had gone out, and I think she was across the road at a neighbor's or whatever. And I was looking after the kids, so I was sleeping in mum's bed. And I woke up and there was this little person just standing there behind mum's bedroom door looking at me. And I kind of went, and it saw me and then just took off out the door down the hallway. And yeah, we had a lot of crazy shit happen when I was younger. Ghost houses all the ways.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to say that the house I'm in now is not too bad. Like, every now and then we'll get something passed through, like my tall peeking man thing. But for the most part, I don't think that we have like a haunted house or anything like that.
Tall peeking man. Fuck off.
So you're coming over this weekend?
No.
Never again.
I'm going to be alone this weekend. Thanks.
Oh, well, that's right. Old mate's going away.
Yeah, old mate's going away.
Oh, no. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to be staying there. I'm looking after the dog-a-log.
Oh, yes.
Where all the bad stuff happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's it. That's my story. Let me know what you think. Obviously, I'm of sound mind otherwise.
Yeah. You're friends with me, so that's questionable.
Yeah, this is true. What does that say? You're actually the demon I've kept with me for the last 25 years.
I took human form finally.
Yeah, that's it. I gave you that much energy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everyone, let us know what you think. Yeah, that was my story.
Share your stories if anyone else has any of their own weird, creepy stories.
Yeah, actually, do you know what? If you've got a good story, email it to us or send it via Messenger. And if we get enough good ones, I might even do a bonus episode where we read them out. How would that be?
That would be fun.
That would be fun. Let's do that. All right. Let us know your scary stories. And, yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.